Welcome to the Smart Dating Academy podcast. I'm Bella Gandhi, the founder of Smart Dating Academy and your host. I started Smart Dating Academy in 2009 because I had this crazy knack of giving people dating advice that actually worked, that I took. I've been married for almost 25 years, and now my company helps people to date smarter and to find love. This podcast is meant to bring more love into your life, no matter where you are and what you do. And we're here to bring more life into your love. Smart daters, welcome back to this week's episode. I am really excited for this conversation with my new friend, Dr. Henry Cloud. For those of you who might not know him, but I think a lot of you probably do, he's an acclaimed leadership expert, a clinical psychologist, and wait for it, a New York Times best-selling author. He's written 46 books, including the iconic book called Boundaries, and he's sold over 20 million copies of books worldwide. He's a total badass, amazing, smart, funny. Dr. Henry Cloud, welcome to the Smart Dating Academy podcast.
Hey, Bella, it's good to join you. We're on our first date here.
This is a first date, and I think we're going to have a second date as far as I can tell so far. How are we doing? Well,
we're doing well. I tell people, you know, as long as it's safe, go out with anyone at least twice, because the first ones can go bad and you've already written them off and you don't know what's goodness is lurking beneath the disinterest.
Oh, if I could tell you, Henry, of sometimes the real first date is the second date, right? And sometimes we just have nerves on the first date, right? So if the person seems nice and okay, just a little quirky, give them a second date.
My wife and I, our first date was horrible. I thought she was a detached, cold ice queen.
What happened? You got to go there now.
Oh, it's a long story how we even ended up on the first date. But she had kind of already sort of written me off because we have a little bit of an age difference. And she was kind of, I mean, she was nice and everything, but she was just kind of sort of inaccessible. I'm a shrink. I can feel that. And so, but so much had gone into having that first date happen that I said, you know what? I'm going to give it another shot. Went out on the second date. That was it.
You sold her.
She sold you. 30 years later.
30 years? Oh, that's awesome. Awesome. Yeah. I love that. Okay. So, you know, what you thought might be dismissive on date one melted on date two.
Yeah, and I'm sure we'll get into all of that. But, you know, one of the big problems I think that people have in dating, and there's a long story about how I got into the dating world.
Yeah, why don't you tell us that story?
I'm not a dating coach like you. I mean, thank God there's dating coaches. God, people get they get coaches and mentors and consultants and shrinks in every area of their life. And the one they care about the most, they're winging it, letting their own patterns reap, you know, the same thing happening over and over again. Anyway, but that wasn't my calling. I'm a clinical psychologist by training. And I would be out speaking, and it just kept happening. This was a number of years ago. I would finish a talk and, you know, you mingle with the audience, and it was always three women would walk up to me. I don't know. I guess they go to the bathroom together. They go talk to the speaker together, but it was always three. And they would seriously, the same question. They would say, can we ask you a question? And I said, what? And they go, why aren't we dating? And they'd be late 20s, usually early 30s ish, maybe mid 30s. I go, I don't know why you're not dating. Why aren't you dating? They go, we don't know. I said, you want to be dating? And they go, yeah, but we're just, I kept hearing it over and over. And so finally one day, and I remember where I was, is in Daytona Beach, Florida. I said, you know what? I don't know why you're not dating, but this is a problem. I keep hearing this over and over, and I'm going to crack the code on this. And so I put together dating groups all over the country, and I researched them for a year because I was just curious. And I found out there were reasons that they weren't dating. and those reasons are fixable. And so I developed a program, and whenever I would get that question again, I would, you know, have them work the program. And I haven't done it. It's not an area of focus, but it's happened so many times. So finally, my publisher heard me talk about this, and I wrote a book on it called How to Get a Date Worth Keeping, because really there's only two dating problems. Either I'm not getting dates, or the ones I'm getting suck and they're not worth keeping around. And so you have to address both sides, and that's how I got into it.
Okay, so what did your research tell you about those two dating problems?
Well, oh gosh, I could go through the whole progression, but the first one, the first big one is that I tell people, you've got to change your mindset. Dating is not about marriage. And here's what I mean by that. A lot of people are dating, it's sort of like they're going on a safari and they're trying to land the trophy to put on the wall. And so they're just going through this dating thing looking for, you know, the one. And I said, all right, let's just forget that. I need to get you dating, because dating itself is a valid, wonderful social exercise. I mean,
yes.
You're going to go to dinner with somebody. You're going to learn about it. You're going to do something, you know, go to a museum. You don't even like museums. You're going to go whatever. But here's what's going to happen when you're dating. You are going to work on your pattern recognition, and you're going to learn what you like, even if they don't have the whole picture. I like that. I never thought of it. You know? And you're going to start. Plus, it's going to bring up, and here's the big deal. It's going to bring up a lot of issues for you. And we're going to look at the issues, because to change your results out there, you've got to do some changing as well. So I see dating as an incredible arena for personal growth and learning about yourself and learning about the world and learning about other people. And when you start to refine those tools, the results are going to happen. And it's been really fun, actually, when I've gotten to do it. I could go on about stories, but I've gotten to do a bunch of weddings and get hundreds and probably up now thousands of emails and couples will send pictures with their holding up their ring. We worked the program and we found each other.
Oh, I love that.
The other thing about it, Bella, it's such an area of heartache for people. And that's really kind of what motivated me. It's just, there's so much pain. And a lot of it is really unavoidable. And so I'm glad there's people like you out there doing this full time.
Well, you know, I think we're kindred spirits in that. What we've helped people to do is say, to your point, there's some inside work to do first. Like, let's take a look back at how family of origin stuff, right?
Thank you.
Can have a profound impact on how we choose partners. And then let's go through each of your partners, look at what worked, what didn't work, what was their responsibility, what was yours. And through this constellation of data points, we can start to help them understand, okay, you're prone to this, and we're going to keep you away from this. What we need to do is go towards someone who takes the knot out of your stomach, who calms your nervous system, where it feels easy. And for some people, that's really, really hard, because they don't know what easy feels like, right? Unless they're in drama and chaos, they're like, it's boring, right? So a lot of why am I not getting good dates? It's like, is that a you problem or is that a them problem? It's usually... It starts with, what are we doing and what are we seeking out? So I couldn't agree with you more about how amazing and enlightening and dating can make us better overall.
Oh. People don't realize that you think you're a free agent out there in the world, but you're, all of us, we're largely, we run on patterning and wiring and how we're wired for both what feels good and what feels bad, what feels familiar, what feels unfamiliar, what we're afraid of, what we long for, what would stretch us, what we would resist. And all it's, if you learn how, and you talk about family of origin and people's histories, if you learn how to drive in London and you move to the U.S., but you're going on your old patterning, you're going to have a bunch of head-on collisions, right? Or you're going to go down some wrong roads. And right. If people don't look at their patterning, that it drives their traffic patterns. It drives what they move towards, what they move against. It drives what they see and what they don't see. It drives how they behave when they should see red flags, as you talk about so well. And they don't want, but a lot of them don't want to hear it, Bella. A lot of people, they want to think, well, there's just no good ones out there. Or
yes.
People get married every day, all around the world, different ages, different body types, different professions. The world is a big place. There's somebody out there for you.
You know, when people contact us, they often contact us saying, well, I'm just looking for a matchmaker. You know, I don't have any dating issues. I need access to better people. I was like, okay, let me take a sip of whatever's in front of me, because you need more coaching than you can possibly realize when I hear that from somebody who's just not open to saying, huh, who have I been picking, right? I just need access to better people. Well, and so they go off and they spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on matchmakers, and they continue to do the same things over and over again. I said, they're going to put another piece of fish on your plate. But if you don't know if that's a good fish for you or a bad fish for you, if this person is relationship ready, if you're relationship ready, and if this person aligns with you, and you have to give it time. Henry, we have all sorts of rules. We have 15-date rule. We have graphs. This is what happens when you take a finance person and turn her into a dating coach as to what pacing of a healthy relationship should look like in our system. And it's doing a lot of things right at the same time. But you're right. All starts in your mind.
Your heart and your mind and your soul and all of how you're put together. You know, you're talking about the fish. Some people don't even have the taste buds for a healthy fish, and they don't realize that, you know, their body's not coming alive because you're just attracted to the wrong things for very, very significant reasons. It could, you know, another part of this is that a lot of times you'll hear, well, he's not my type or she's not my type. And what they don't understand, how many people just go for their type, they marry their type, and it blows up, and then they go marry another one that's their type, and it blows up? Because a lot of people don't understand that a lot of the types, that's, we build types sometimes out of pathology.
Yes.
And we're attracted to certain things because of woundedness, injury, lack of certain, you know, wirings and all of that. And you actually might be attracted to poison. And then you think, oh, I just need to find the good ones. Well, A, you're not even going to be attracted to probably what was good sometimes. And B, you're going to miss a lot of good because they don't fit into your little box. So, but that all comes from, like you're saying, the internal work they've got to do.
Yeah, 100%. You know, we run workshops called Fix Your Picker.
There you go.
It's like, you're not, and when people will tell me, I just attract the wrong people. I'm like, you accept the wrong people. This is active. It's not passive.
Very, very, thank you. I had a woman call the show yesterday who said, you know, I keep being attracted to narcissists. And no, I attract narcissists. That's what she said. And I said, well, there's a lot of narcissists out there. That means you've probably got a belly button. But what the problem is, they may be attracted to you because you're intelligent and creative and beautiful and smart or music, whatever they're attracted to. But the problem is that you don't have any repellent for a narcissist. That if a narcissist is, narcissists are seeking basically gratification for themselves and to feel good about themselves and feel wonderful and all of that. And if you're always just mirroring them and agreeing with them and compliant and doing what they want and trying to make them feel good, of course they're going to be attracted to you. They don't want a person. They want a self object that's going to make them feel good. So I always tell women, look, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, Jesus said, don't cast your pearls before swine. I go, you need a swine test in your handbag. And so you know if you're dealing with a good man or a pig. Now, here's the best swine test is the word no.
Amen.
Like,
amen.
If you don't want to do something, you don't like that restaurant, say, no, I don't really like this. Or you don't want to, you know, he calls you, can you go out tomorrow night? No, I can't go. Okay. And you start getting, but they'll just say yes to everything. I go, just say the word no and watch what you get back. And if they try to manipulate you or control you or talk you out of it, don't respect your freedom, don't respect your boundaries, all of that, then you're going to learn something, but they're not going to be attracted to you anymore. They don't like to hear no. They'll go away and that'll end.
And you're exactly right. You know, I remember about a year ago, we did a podcast episode about, is it love bombing or is it not? And it was very simple. Just because somebody is nice to you and maybe says nice things to you, or they feel grandiose or over the top, if you come from a place of love and say, you know what, this feels a bit fast for me. I'm a slow burn and I would love to, you know, maybe see you next week and then once a week for the first month. You determine everything about this person in their response to you.
You got it. Do they respect your freedom?
Do they
take the next step and take a step of understanding and empathy? Oh yeah, I can tell me more about that. Like, that's really interesting. And try to understand it instead of overpower or control you out of it. And the other thing about this is a lot of really destructive personalities, they will come on extremely loving in the beginning and adore you. Oh, no one's ever appreciated me like this. And he pursues me and, you know, and you get all this attention. Great. That's a sprint. And a lot of these problem personalities, their whole world is driven on a combination of idealization and envy. So they'll idealize you and you're wonderful and they envy you. You've got to have you. But like all people driven by envy instead of gratitude, once they've got you, envy defines the good by that which I don't have. So they don't want you anymore. They want the next one.
Mm.
And you can't tell that in a month.
Mm.
Dating to a decision is not a sprint. It's a longer race. And you're going to see character unfold. And it takes time. When you were doing M&A work, a company could fall in love with another company. It looks great. Look at this product. Look at the people they have. Look at their balance sheet, all this kind of stuff. But you would have a period, like when you buy a house, we're going to enter into an escrow where we're going to have contingencies and we do inspections. Now we're going to look behind the drywall and see if there's any termites in there.
Right. Is there black mold back there? It's called due diligence, people. We do due diligence. I say exactly this, Henry. Dating is a process of, it's fun, but it's discernment and due diligence. You need repeated exposures to this person over a long runway. Right? Everybody's great when the sun shines. It's when there's a potential misunderstanding or someone doesn't get what they want or something goes a little sideways. How does this person behave and how do they self-regulate? You're not going to know that right away.
That is exactly right. And the other thing you're not going to know, healthy people are, you know, we all have a lot of different parts, right? A healthy person's all of our parts, they're accessible to the other parts. We're in what we call integration, right? problem people are compartmentalized, and they may be dating you with all these wonderful parts up here, but they have other parts that they're not even in touch with and certainly hadn't been healed and fixed, that don't come out until the heart gets involved. So once the attachment begins, you're going to see a deeper part of them begin to come out. And that's either going to be wonderful and nourishing and satisfying and mutually gratifying, or it's going to be destructive. You can't get to the deeper aspects of a person without time and investment. So that's why the time factor is a big deal. There is such thing as quick, turns out to be the right one, or love at first sight. But that's like, yeah, I can go to Vegas and roll the dice. Yeah, I'm going to hit red and win the jackpot every now and then. But that's not the way that was just, you're lucky. You found the one good one, and that would have been revealed over time too. But if you're not taking time and doing some specific activities like you refer to, you might as well go to Vegas and put it all on red.
No, you're so right that you don't see those damaged parts. I remember one of my very earliest relationships was so amazing and glamorous, or not glamorous, but like all of the things you see in a Disney movie, right? I'm like, we all have that little Disney princess inside of us. Like, this is exactly how romance is supposed to be. And at the 4-month mark, post exclusivity, it's like the day before I was the coolest girlfriend in the world. The day after 4 months, I got hot, cold, push, pull. I'm like, what just happened? Yesterday I was amazing. Today I'm annoying. And what I didn't realize as a teenager, right, I was like, I never understood. And I'm a finance person. I look at dates. 4 months, what happens? Now, one of the things that we help our clients with, I'm like, look, people can hold it together at max if you're not looking for the red flags and you're not aware of them until 4 months of exclusivity, to your point, where those damaged parts can come out and punch right. you in the face. Now, if you have the lenses, you can look for those things and you can look for the clues, because it always leaves clues. But that 4-month mark is a huge mark post exclusivity. So that's why when we work with our clients at Smart Dating Academy, we work with people usually for a year to begin with. Like, this is slow and steady. There ain't no 3-date rule.
Thank you. Somebody listen to this lady. I'm not kidding. People that get engaged, I always say they might be the one, but give it a year, because all the reasons we've been talking about, but a year gives you time to go through a lot of different seasons.
Yes.
And you get to see the kind of the 360 of their life, and you get to see a lot of different circumstances, and that's when it starts to get revealed. Why are you guys always in his circle of friends? Why won't he ever want to go out with your friends? He's kidnapped you from your life. You've like, how many times you see they start to unplug from the life they had? Or the opposite, how come he's never introduced you to his family or circle of friends? And you just don't see you've never seen him go through a bad season at work. You've got to have time. And time and a lot of different experiences.
Exactly. It's like repeated exposures, right? And we don't, and I'm so glad I found a kindred spirit. You have to have, there are 3 dates, right? When people talk about 3-date rule, and these are successful, professional, smart, you know, or maybe not, they haven't worked in a long time, but these are smart people. And but we've been fed this 2x, it's like 3 dates. Everything's got to be on steroids. There's love at first sight. We fall in love. It's 3 dates. I'm like, 3 dates. Okay. How long were each of your dates? Okay. I want to get exclusive, Belle. It's been 3 dates. Okay. Well, each of the dates, it's been 2 hours. I've been following your rules. I'm like, 2 hours times 3 dates is 6 hours. That is not even Monday at work. Chat to put it that way. I'm like, but this is rational, right? This is rational. When we talk about 15 dates over 3 months, I'm like, yeah, okay, that could be 45 to 60 cumulative hours, but it's repeat, it's over time. It's not, you know, people are like, well, they're coming to visit me over the weekend. Does that count for 10 dates? I'm like, it does not. It does not. It's over time. You need a long runway, right? Lindsay, who works with me on my team, she always says, once somebody gets into an exclusive relationship, even if it's great, I want to watch it for four seasons. To your point, 1 year. And we're having concrete conversations. What was your past like? What do you think about money? Where does religion and spirituality fall into your life? These are the conversations you want to have before you decide to go to Vegas and get hitched.
You got to see their whole life. I had a friend of mine call me and said, I need some advice. And I said, what? And he said, my daughter's boyfriend just called me and wants to take me to dinner. He said, I know what that means. He's going to ask for her hand in marriage. He said, what do you say in that conversation? I said, well, I got two daughters. I know what I'm going to tell him. He said, what? And I said, I'm going to tell him, yeah, let's go to dinner. I think I know what you're going to ask me, or I won't say that, but yeah, let's go to dinner. But I want you to bring your last 2 years' tax returns. And my friend laughed, like, yeah, like, right, you're really going to do that. I said, I am dead serious. I will do this. He goes, that's so intrusive. I said, look, I don't care about the numbers. I don't care what he makes. I just want to know if he can find them. Do they exist?
Do they even know?
And I'm going to tell him to bring his credit report. Now, I don't care. There's a story. Maybe he had a blip, but I want to hear the story. Because I want to see how he's fulfilled other commitments that he's made. Because here's the problem, and this goes to dating. The job description of a boyfriend is very different than the job description of a husband.
Amen. Say it again for the people in the back, Henry.
People can look good as a dater. But if you're going to get serious with somebody, what you're talking about is you're talking about merging your life. And you've got to see what your M&A, what your actually this merger is about, because they may be wonderful and charming, but if they can't handle the rest of life, and that includes your culture, that includes like all sorts of things, your faith, your view on kids, the direction setters in life, your family, how they deal with different, you are joining a life. So this is serious. And the other part of it, and I don't know what your thoughts are on this, but this exclusivity thing, a lot of people have a lot of serial, quick, monogamous dating like that. And I go, you just pick the next one, and then all of a sudden you're dating them. Well, it's easy for somebody to stand out in a crowd of one. I want you dating a lot of different people at light levels and a lot of experiences, and then somebody's going to stand out. But don't get exclusive after one date.
Amen. And this gets back to the speed and what we're fed as a society, that we should know there's love at first sight. Why shouldn't I get exclusive after the first date? I just know. I'm like, you don't just know. I don't know. Nobody knows.
Bad people happen to good people all the time because they don't see the red flags, or they're attracted to the wrong ones, or they don't give it time.
Yeah, it's so true. And speaking of exclusivity, you don't just know right away. You don't know at the first date. You don't know at the second date. You don't know at the third date. Dating is a process, again, of due diligence. Slow it down. And let me tell you something. Public service.
You haven't even met his parole officer yet, because you don't know he exists.
Exactly. Exactly. And when someone attracts one of my clients too much right away, my team and I are like, Oh, if I hear, oh my gosh, Bella, I had the best first date last night. You know what happens to me? I start waving my potential mental red flag. Like, huh, if someone, your history isn't good with picking. And if you're telling me I had a great first date last night with a lot of chemistry, so much of chemistry is just familiarity.
That's right. It, if I can say one thing about that too, yeah, a lot of times people do not, and this gets into their own, you know, deeper issues, but a lot of times they don't differentiate between longing and love.
Yeah.
And sometimes the most disconnected person, they go out on a date and they don't realize they're actually not being connected with, they're with somebody and they're falling in this idealization and all of this, and they're longing for them. And that longing feels like I'm in love. No, you're actually underneath that. You're very, very, very hungry.
Yes.
And you're idealizing the apple and you're confusing that for love. And then you go after that date and you're just feeling all this stuff. Well, let's see if that longing actually gets satisfied in a real connection. And that's going to take some time and some certain behaviors on the other person's part to build that, something that's actually
sustainable,
nourishing.
Gratifying. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about boundaries and what people talk about boundaries all the time, right? And you and I were having a little conversation prior to when we hit record about how sometimes we don't understand what the concept of boundaries are. We misuse the word. It entitles people to sometimes behave badly. Tell us, as a dater, as a person in a relationship, tell us about boundaries and how we should be thinking about this.
Well, it's interesting. I wrote a book called Boundaries.
I actually
wrote another book called Boundaries in Dating. What people don't understand about boundaries is all a boundary is a property line. That's all it is. If you live in a house or you rent a house or you have an apartment, there's a boundary that defines what is your house versus your neighbor's house. Did my screen go weird again?
Yeah.
This has never happened before. I don't know why that is doing that.
That's okay. Keep going.
It's a property line. It defines what is you versus what is not you. Okay, so boundaries, once you define your property, that defines some very important things. When you own a house or you own the rights to it because you're renting it, you own it. And if you own it, you have control of it. And you are free to do what you want to with your house. Personal boundaries means that it's not about the other person. You can't control another person. Boundaries are about self-control. And so when I hear people say, well, I put a boundary on them. Well, you don't understand what a boundary is. You can't take your fence and go put it halfway across the yard and start to tell them what they can do and what they can't do. What you can do is when they do something that's hurtful to you, you can say, well, here's my fence. If you're not taking care of your trees and they're falling in my yard, I'm not going to allow my yard to be treated like that. So, if you want to have rage attacks, you're free to do that, but I'm not going to be with you when you're doing that, or you're going to use drugs or whatever. I only choose to be around people that are sober. It's about self-control. And what happens is people will use boundaries to try to control or punish somebody else instead of using boundaries to build a better relationship.
That's right.
And when you say, you know what, I don't really like that. I'd like to be treated differently than that. You have a choice whether or not you can be mean or nice. If you're nice, then we can play. If you're not, then we don't. That's up to you. I can't control you. But here's what people in my yard are going. These are the rules I play by.
Absolutely. And this even manifests, Henry, in dating when people are messaging back and forth. You know, and I find a lot of women complaining about this lately with men. Like, okay, we always counsel our clients, do a video call, because most of the apps now have video, and you go on a hell of a lot more less disappointing dates if you actually do video with someone, because, you know, it could be 10 teeth ago, whatever it is, but do video. You're not going to have a lot of surprises that way. And when women are like, hey, you know, it'd be great to connect via phone or video. And these guys will say, yeah, sure. You know, how about sometime tomorrow? And they'll say, well, okay. And they'll wait around for tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow. I said, no. What you can say back is, hey, you know, I'm a calendar person. If it's on my calendar, it happens. How about 4 o'clock tomorrow? Like, you can say, I don't want you to be disappointed waiting around all day. And this dude is a flake. I said, people that want to talk to you will play by those rules. And if he doesn't get back to you when you ask for a time, you don't wait around. It's that simple.
And all you're doing is being in control of yourself.
That's
you're not
it.
Trying to control somebody. You're not trying to be mean.
No.
I'll tell you another one. The, you know, they'll have a date and they'll go out and then all of a sudden, you know, they get a text at 7:45 one night. What are you up to? Well, let's go, you know, I'll come over. Let's go out. You know what? I'm already got something going on, or I'm going to read tonight or whatever. You know, text me with another time that you'd like to go out on a date. But what they do is they'll give up their own property and take down the fence and say, somebody can walk in my house anytime they want. And that's just, I mean, you're going to get what you let through the front door.
Amen. Amen. I love that. Boundaries are about keeping your own house and your own yard straight.
And another thing about this, Bella, is that, you know, boundaries are like a fence. Okay. Everybody's got a fence around the yard, metaphorically. I mean, you got a front door at least. And that front door is not a wall. That front door you can open and invite people in who show proper ID and don't have a gun and aren't going to hurt you. But you vet them first, right? Before you invite them in. But the other thing is, that door, if you make a wall, some people, they got so many requirements on it. They get this checklist of, I remember a woman one time said, you know, I want somebody who's really spontaneous and creative and really organized and has their life. And I go, you have just described two personalities that do not exist in the same brain. Okay. Now we can modulate getting good enough, but there are, I think people do need, so you talk about the red flags. Some people do need, these are things that are non-starters.
Yeah.
Okay. And, you know, lying, cheating, controlling, duplicitous, unfaithful, you know, narcissist, all of that. I don't spend time with those people. Now, yeah. There's some other things that are negotiable and preferences, but then some things you just gotta give up. That's not, they're not important. And some people have made some of the most least important things important. It's just,
it's so true. It's so true. It, you know, this is, I did a TED talk in Chicago some years ago called The Secret to Finding Lasting Love. And it's on YouTube if any of you listeners haven't seen it yet. But it talks about the kind of checklist that people come up with. If I tell you, and I've done this exercise with thousands of women over the last 15 years, I ask every one of them, Tell me about your dream guy. Like, I'm going to write everything down. Do you know the number one word that I've heard over the last 15 years?
I'm scared.
Tall.
Tall.
Tall. Again. And so we just write everything down about their dream guy. But then what we have them do is really think about their elevator people. What are elevator people? People that elevate you. They make you really happy in your relationship. Who are those people? And look at, what do they give to me in my relationships that actually elevate me and make me happy? And right, and the big reveal is, are you looking for what you need to be happy versus what you think you want on a quantitative checklist? And it blows people's minds every time. And if this is an exercise you want or need to do, send us a message. We do these things every day with people to really help them sort out what is the right checklist that you're looking at. And so if somebody throws down those red flags, they're lying, cheating, they're negative, they're playing the victim, I don't care how many yachts or houses or how gorgeous and young she is, red flags are red flags, people.
You know, you're attracted to somebody's outsides, but you're going to experience their character. And because that's what happens, you know, after all the oxytocin and, you know, the bonding chemicals start to, you know, diminish. And a lot of times what you'll hear back, I'm sorry about my camera. This hasn't happened before. I don't know what it is. If we can take a second, I do have another one I can prop up there.
It's no big deal. I like our conversation. We'll keep going. Okay.
The other thing about that is that a lot of times people, when you say that to them, they get dejected and they think, well, what you're telling me is the chemistry is not important. No, we're not saying that at all.
Amen.
You better not marry somebody that you have no chemistry with. What we're telling you is that it's possible that for a number of reasons inside of you, that you're not experiencing chemistry with people that you would have a lot of chemistry with if you were going down the right path, but B, that there are a lot of dynamics that can block your chemistry to other people. And there are a lot of dynamics that create chemistry that are based on pathology. Quick example. I remember one time, you mentioned the tall thing. That she would only be attracted to kind of really sort of muscular types, you know, kind of strong men. And that was a big deal for her. And we start to do, you know, all of this work. And she starts, you know, I'm asking her about her life. And as you said, family of origin stuff and this, that, and the other. And she had gone through some significant, you know, periods in her growing up years where she was in danger.
Wow.
Had to do with a bipolar mother and a bunch of other stuff. And she, at a deep level, she just felt really almost at danger in the world. Well, there was something about the big, strong guy that made her feel safe.
Mm.
She starts to do her own personal work on having good boundaries and being more empowered as a person and all that. And she starts to become really stronger. All of a sudden, she's really getting attracted to different kinds of men, and not because she should, or you're telling them they have good character. No, she's getting all the happies and everything she used to get from just the Arnold Schwarzeneggers of the world. And and that's, I've seen the opposite happen. I remember one woman who she kept dating and being attracted to very nice guys. But after time, she just experienced them as weak, or they had no testosterone in her person. They couldn't stand up to her, and she felt like, I'm always feeling like I'm in control. Well, we get further into it, and she had a very out of control, rageful father. And she was, you know, anybody with any strength reminded her of the new term, toxic masculinity. So she would even stay away from masculinity.
Right.
And she would be attracted to passive men, and then she would get uninterested in them, or they wouldn't fool. And she had to work through so many things. And then all of a sudden her eyes get open, and the chemistry that's based on a real connection versus a fantasy is A, deeper, B, much richer, C, much more long-term lasting, and D, even more exciting, because it involves so much more of somebody's personhood. And sometimes people don't realize, I've got to find the right one, but I got to become the right one. Yeah. They can see the right one. And this internal work sometimes, if somebody's got a history of failure, don't keep doing the same thing, expecting different results. Let's start to, like you said, your people picker is a big deal.
It's a big deal. It's a big deal. And that's the you part of this that we need to work on, to your point.
Very, very important. And unfortunately, I mean, take, you know, getting healthy. Everybody wants the 1-800, take this pill for 30 days and you'll have the perfect body. But there are those who realize, no, this is getting in shape is going to be a process of changing some things, and they do the hard work. And then that those are the ones that it lasts.
That's right.
The sad thing is, I know, Bella, right now there are people listening go, oh, that's so boring. You're taking all the magic out of it. No. We're trying to get you to magic that's not a magician, but magic that comes from real relational fulfillment.
And magic that'll last, Henry, not magic for the first 90 days.
That's exactly right.
And it's possible, ladies and gentlemen, listening to this. This, Henry, I feel like I could talk to you for the next 8 hours, but I'm, you know, where, first of all, thank you for this amazing conversation. And if people want more of Dr. Henry Cloud, where can they go?
Well, probably the kind of stuff that we've been talking about. If you go to, I've got an online platform called boundaries.me. It's a website, boundaries.me. And if you become a subscriber, it's like Netflix. You've got over 100 little mini courses on there in videos that help you with clinical issues, anxiety, depression, and fears, relationship issues like dating we're talking about, but also, you know, performance, reaching your goals. And it's all available. Go to boundaries.me.
Oh, well, this, I hope, is the first of many conversations that you and I will have. Thank you so much for dropping all of your wisdom and gems on our audience and me. I feel like a better person having met you and talked to you today. And I'm sure.
Well, thank you. I said earlier, I don't do dating coaching. Mm-hmm. But now at least I have somebody good to refer to. So.
Aw, well, I take that with the highest level of gratitude and honor. So thank you. And smart daters, if you've been listening to this podcast for, you know, we started it in 2 years ago. If you've been listening and you feel like, man, I feel like my picker's off, man, my checklist is off, man, I don't have the right boundaries, man, I need this help. Let me tell you what, you're worth a change. You're worth doing something. Check out Smart Dating Academy. Check out boundaries.me. Look at Dr. Henry's work. Look at our work. You're worth all of this. So until our next episode, I bid you farewell and wish you a beautiful week.
Thanks for listening. And as always, download us, share us, show us the love. Follow Instagram at Smart Dating Academy. And if you or someone you know wants to learn more, check out our website at smartdatingacademy.com. We're here to bring you love.